Greetings, everyone. My name is Jonathan. I'm the youth pastor here at Cornerstone Church, and I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited to be able to share with you today. You know, a couple of months ago when Pastor Terry asked me to consider to write a message and really ponder what it might look like to share with our body, my first initial reaction was, nah, I'm okay. Side note, that was in my head because I just didn't want to. It just felt like a lot. It felt like, oh man, that's overwhelming to be able to share with the community. Like I've, you know, been in youth ministry for a while, but I've never been able to share in this aspect, in this way. But as I prayed about it, as I sought counsel, wise counsel, and prayed about it, you know, the Lord really started moving. And I felt like God was saying, yes, John, this is what I want you to do. I want you to move forward with this. So then I came back to Pastor Terry and I told him, hey, you know what? PT, Pastor Terry, I think the Lord wants me to move forward, so let's do it. I wrote a message, and this is what I'm sharing today. You know, the Living the Word series has really been profound and really powerful in a lot of ways. You know, Pastor Terry's slogan for the series really is that in order to live the Word, we need the Word to live in us. So my hope, my prayer today is that we can get a little bit of this aspect of what does it look like for the Word to live within us. But before we hop into this, I do want to pray and invite the Lord in this time. So please join me. Thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for today. I thank you for just what you are doing in our church, in our body, in our lives. Those who are online, maybe joining us for the first time, and those who are joining us yet again, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity really just to share my story and how you've been moving in my life as I continue to stay connected to you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for this time you're invited here. Speak, move, Holy Spirit. I ask you all this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So as I was sitting with Living the Word, I was really pondering and praying about, like, what do I want to share? Not even just me, but Lord, what do you want me to share? And I sat with this idea, this concept that living the Word really hinges on staying connected to Jesus. And as I look back in my own life, I can really say for sure, without a doubt, that staying connected to Jesus is why I'm here today, why I'm sharing. His faithfulness, his goodness, right? His mercy, his love has really ran after me personally to have me stay connected to the Lord. And as I look back in my life, I can say that this is for sure, without a doubt, true. And I do want to share just a little bit about me, a little bit about my backstory before I actually hop into some scripture that I'm really excited to share with you. But some stuff about me. My name is Jonathan Arantes. I was born in San Francisco, grew up in the Bay Area. I am 29 years old currently, turning 30 years old this year, which I'm really excited for. And yeah, you know, growing up, it was a blessing without a doubt, but it was tough. It was hard. Grew up without a father in my life. Never met my dad. Maybe some of you know what that's like. My mother wasn't in the place to be able to raise me. So actually, my grandmother, who I call mom or also Mama Olga, she raised me. She raised me since I was one and a half years old. And I can say that without her, without the movement of God in her life, I don't know where I would be. So I am truly thankful for her and for what the Lord has done in her life and is still doing in her life today. But I grew up with her all my life. And one might say even today, I'm still learning a lot from her, for sure, without a doubt. But you know, one of the things growing up with Mama Olga that I learned and that was really a routine was going to church. And, you know, as a youngster, I really didn't understand the concept really of going, why going to church and, you know, really who's Jesus and all this stuff. But I remember just my mom, Mama Olga, instilling this in me at a young age. We church hop a lot, so we would go to different churches. And I've probably been to a good amount of churches growing up. But one of the churches that I remember going to was Cornerstone. And Cornerstone really was a blessing being able to go here. And I remember Pastor Terry sharing. And I remember Fern on the guitar just having fun and really just being feeling welcome when I was coming to Cornerstone. And after that, after a couple months, we stopped going to Cornerstone. But that was really a lot of my church experience, right? It was really just checking out and going to these different churches. And it wasn't until maybe middle school where Mama Olga started to get a little sick. So we stopped going to church. And we went to church a few times after that, for sure, but it wasn't as consistent as it was when I was younger. And at this time in middle school and in high school, I started playing a lot of sports. I did football, I did wrestling, and just, you know, extracurricular activities. I started hanging out with a lot of my friends and all that. And really my identity in high school was sports and my friends. And it was good. It was fun. I loved it. But it wasn't until early 2012 when a lot of things started shifting in my life. Unfortunately, from some of the choices that I made, I got kicked out of high school. I got kicked out of two high schools, graduated from Baden Adult School. And I remember that just being really hard for me because, once again, my identity really was in sports. It was in football. It was my senior year of football. And not being able to play your senior year like that, that hurt a lot. I remember my coach calling me actually a couple of weeks later saying, "Hey, John, like, where are you at? Like, you know, we're practicing." And that, me having to tell him, like, "Sorry, coach, unfortunately, I can't play because I got kicked out of school." I remember feeling shame and guilt and just confusion and really just, who am I at this point? And as this was going on, unfortunately, a friend of a family member committed suicide. And I remember just really walking that out and starting to ask myself questions like, well, what happens after death? And this was the first time I really started wrestling with this concept. And it wasn't even me first thinking, does God exist or who is God? But it was, what happens after we die? I remember my older brother sharing with me at that time, like, "John, what could it be like that when we do die, us to see Jesus? Like, what would we do? Would we embrace God? Would we embrace Jesus? Give him a hug? Would we fall to our knees and pray and glorify him? Like, what would we do?" And I remember as he was sharing all of this, I really started feeling the presence of God for the first time. And my friends, I can't explain it other than just a loving, warm embrace from a father who longs to be with you. And I remember just crying and feeling all of this emotion. And I didn't cry because I was scared or fearful, but a lot of it was because, wow, Lord, I feel your presence. You are real. You're here. And I remember that night going home and just praying, saying, "Father, forgive me. Forgive me, God, because I didn't trust you. I didn't think you were there. I didn't believe that you were moving, but I can see you moving the whole time." I remember the next day telling my mom, "Mama Olga, we need to look for church. We need to go back to church." She was telling me that, you know, Cornerstone actually opened up a new campus at the time, and that was our Lake Merced campus back in 2011, 2012. And me saying, you know, I remember thinking, yeah, this church, we've been there before. I remember the pastor. I remember the vibe, the experience. Like, yes, let's go there. Walking into Cornerstone that first time was peaceful. I felt like the Lord wanted me here. I don't think it is a coincidence that all those years ago when I was younger, we came to Cornerstone. You know, the way that God moves is, it's awesome. That's the only way I can explain it, right? He starts putting things in our path that allow us to look back and say, yeah, God, you were moving. So we came to Cornerstone, and I remember feeling just like, this is the place to be. This is where God is calling me. It wasn't until maybe two Sundays after going to Cornerstone that I felt an impression of the Lord, God calling me to serve. And it was really clear as day. I felt like God said, go up and serve. I remember thinking towards the ending of service, you know, Lord, you're asking me to serve. Like, yeah, I don't know who to talk to or who to go to, but I'm going to ask whoever I need to serve. The funniest thing after this, once again, is it a coincidence or is it the movement of God? I think it's the movement of God that one of the pastors came down and really started kind of closing our service and sharing about serving opportunities. And he said, if there is any of you who want to serve in our body, who want to be able to volunteer, we have opportunities in different ministries. Meet me here and we'll get you plugged in. My friends, I was mind blown for two reasons. One was because I was trying to figure out, who do I talk to? Where do I go? Right? A lot of the times when we listen to the prompting of the Lord, when God asks us to do something, it's because he set a path. And I saw the path. It was easy. Talk to this person. No excuse. And secondly, I was mind blown because I really felt like God was saying, well, I felt like God wasn't saying, John, if you feel comfortable, if it works with your schedule, if it's not too much of a burden, can you consider maybe serving? It wasn't that, my friends. It was an order. It was an order from my king to serve his body, his church. How could I say no to that? And my friends, I encourage you even now to think about and consider and pray. What it might look like for you to serve in our body or in, you know, whatever church you might go to that's locally. I know some of you are not here in the Bay Area, so you're not able to serve our church, but there's organizations, there's places that you can go out and serve. After serving with the setup and breakdown crew for a while, I remember one of the ministry lead asking me, hey, John, hey, John, you've been coming here for a while and I would consider maybe getting plugged into a small group. There's a small group that meets up every single week at one of the pastor's house. Would you consider going? Pray about it. And it was funny to me because once again, my friends, when we feel like God is moving in our lives and we start praying about it, like God makes a path for us. It was funny to me because a few weeks prior to that, one of my first prayers was, Lord, give me friends that I can grow in relationship with, that I can grow in knowledge of you with. Yeah, and he made it clear. You know, when the ministry lead told me this, I felt like it was an answer to my prayer. And I was nervous for sure because I didn't know who I was meeting or where I was going, really. He was going to be there, but I remember just feeling, you know what, Lord, this is it. Knocking on that door, the pastor opening and me just telling him like, hey, I heard there's a small group here that meets up every week for young adults. Can I get plugged in? Him inviting me into his home and just meeting so many wonderful people. I could say that actually even today, a lot of the friends that I met over a decade ago in that small group, I still have friends. They're still my friends today. My closest friends I met over a decade ago in that small group. It's wonderful to see just the way that God moves, right? And being able to stay connected to him, we start to see even more clear how God moves. And it's wonderful. You know, one of the things I love about scripture really is, there's a lot to it, but one of it is that the way that Jesus teaches and the way he shares and his love, it makes sense to me because, you know, back then the agriculture environment was real, right? Plants, like his analogies of staying connected to the vine or producing good fruit, right? There's a lot of this analogies and stories and illustrations and parables that Jesus uses. The seed that is scattered, it revolves around his creation, plants, agriculture once again. And me personally, another thing to share is I love nature. I love going on backpacking trips with PT or friends, going on hikes and just really seeing the creation of God. Something as simple as a tree, my friends, I am like mind blown by just the way it works and the photosynthesis and just everything about it just is, for me, a way to glorify God. I'm just in awe of his creation. I personally love it so much that I have a bunch of houseplants. I have over 60 different houseplants currently that have been alive. Let me show you some photos right now. Yeah, these plants have been alive for over 2 years, 3 years. Some of them, I think, almost reaching 4 years. And a lot of my friends are telling me and have been telling me, John, you have a green thumb. You know how to keep plants alive. I can't do that myself. And my friends, I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for YouTube, I honestly probably wouldn't have not kept any of these plants alive. But there's so much to learn about something as simple as a houseplant. And when we read scripture, I think we can really pull from this, right? Maybe some of you are not plant people, and that's totally fine. Hopefully by the end of this, you might be a little bit more. But let's read some scripture together and really figure out what does it look like to be connected to the vine. So in John chapter 15, verses 1, this is what Jesus says. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you." So real quick, I do want to say this in the forefront before we move on, is Jesus is not talking about heaven or hell. He's not talking about salvation in this passage. But what he is talking about is the fruit that we produce in our lives, because all of us are producing some type of fruit. Now, the key point I want us to take away from this right now, these first couple of verses, is that the pruning process hurts, but it is needed in order to grow. Now, pruning, for some of us who might not know, is when you cut back branches or leaves or fruit from a tree or a plant. You literally cut it off and you throw it away. And what happens is when a plant is growing, whatever plant it may be, and let's just say one of the leaves is dying or it's just not producing fruit or whatever it is, what's happening is this leaf, this branch, is actually taking energy from the whole. And what happens is when it's taking the energy, the whole plant is not able to really produce this fruit or this vegetation or flower that it's meant to. And when it stays connected, when that bad branch or vine or whatever it is stays connected to the plant, it's once again taking that energy and is not able to produce. So what you gotta do is you gotta prune it, you gotta cut it off, throw it out so that it doesn't take what is needed. And then when you start pruning, it starts to grow and it produces beautiful foliage, flowers, plants, fruit. Now, the pruning process isn't pretty. It hurts, but it's needed to grow. And in our lives, God is doing the same thing. And Jesus says it here, right? That the Father prunes so that we may produce fruit. Now, there's certain things in our lives that God is trying to get rid of. Maybe it is addiction. Maybe we're addicted to something, whether it is, that's going to be intense, but whether it's pornography, whether it's drugs, whether it is money, whatever it may be, we're just addicted. We want it, pleasure. And God is trying to rid us of those things. Maybe it is the way that we speak to others, the way that we treat others, right? What is it in our lives that God is trying to prune, to get rid of, so that we can produce fruit in other areas of our lives that bless others? You know, there's things that God has pruned me of, without a doubt, and I praise him for that. And there's still things that God is still pruning. It still hurts, but it's needed to grow. When we move on to verse 4, it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." You know, as I read that, I started thinking, you know, all of us produce fruit, right? What fruit are we producing? What vine are we connected to? Jesus says that he is the true vine. But all of us are connected to something, right? We all find identity in something, pleasure, joy in something. You know, for me in high school, it was sports. It was my friendships. And when I wasn't able to be in that, I was lost. I was confused. You know, our society really says, hey, whatever makes you happy, whatever you want to do, unless you're not hurting others, like, do it, right? There's no bar, no whole bars. Like, do whatever you want to do, right? As long as it makes you happy. But I really do believe that is destructive. I don't think that's healthy. I don't think that is good for us. Now, there's some things that are healthy that we do. That's good. And the Lord desires for us to have joy. But there's some things that brings temporary joy. The Lord doesn't want that. So what fruit are we producing in our lives? We have to start asking ourselves these questions. Jesus wants us to stay connected to him so that we produce good fruit. Moving on in verse 5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus is saying this. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you produce, or that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, I love this because there's a lot to pull from here, but something I want to sit with is this verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, some of us might be thinking, wait, John, I don't need to follow Jesus, go to church, do all those things, right, in order to do good things. And I would say I agree 100%. You don't need to follow Jesus in order to do good things, in order to help somebody out, right? But I will say, like Jesus saying, is that there's something, there's a disconnect between those, the two. And I would say one of it is this, that a lot of the times when people do good things, it's so that they get the praise, so that we get the worship, right? So that people can look at us and be like, oh, he is a good guy. She's a good girl. She helps out, right? It's so that we get the praise. And it's really selfish and self-centered. So why are we doing the good things that we do? What's the purpose behind it? On the other hand, maybe that's not the reason. Maybe the reason is so that we feel good about ourselves. Oh, I'm a good person, right? I do this, this, and that. Like, I should be able to go to heaven then, right? Or whatever it may be. The justification never ends, right? But these are a lot of the times the two reasons. There's obviously other reasons, but these are the two big ones. It's so that other people praise us, or so that we feel good about ourselves. And when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, it's this idea that nothing that lasts. Because when we move on, and in verse 9, it says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How wonderful is that? My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Stay with me here, friends. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's the key. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. It's so beautiful. It's beautiful because Jesus is saying, hey, stay connected to me. I am the true vine. You are the branch. You can't do anything unless you stay connected to me. And when you stay connected to me, my joy will be in you and your joy will be made complete. Yet again, some of us might say, well, John, I don't need to follow Jesus in order to feel joy. I will say, I agree, my friends. Shockingly, I know. I would agree because there's things in our lives that produce joy. But this is the thing. The joy that the world gives us does not last. It's fleeting. It's here for a little while and it goes away. Now, the joy that Jesus offers us, it is everlasting. It produces so much fruit in our lives. And people see that. People see the joy of the Lord because it is our strength. It's such a beautiful thing. Now, staying connected to Jesus isn't easy. Like, I'm not trying to make it sound like it's easy. It is hard. There's times where it's, okay, you know what? Hey, today, Lord. But it's an everyday decision. Lord, today I'm going to stay connected to you to the best of my ability. I am not perfect. I am flawed, messed up, but you are perfect. And I want to be able just to live in your love and your grace for my life. You know, the enemy is going to do whatever he can to separate us from Jesus. In the same way, in the garden of Adam and Eve, shame and guilt stepped in and they hid themselves from the Father. And the enemy wants us to hide ourselves from the Father. Do not stay disconnected. Stay connected. Plug in to the body. Stay plugged into scripture, to reading his word, to Jesus and his love in your life. Because when we stay connected to Jesus, we will start to see life change. It's not going to be easy once again, especially when he's pruning. Oof, it hurts, but it's good. And it's fruit that lasts. Now, some ways we can stay connected to Jesus, simple, it's not rocket science, but a couple of these ways is this. The first is talk to Jesus. Just literally talk to God. When was the last time we had a conversation with the Lord? Whether it is, I'm mad at you, God, because X, Y, and Z, or it's, I am thankful for the way that you've moved in my life, or maybe it's, I don't even know if you're there, God. You know, Jonathan's saying talk to you, but I don't even know if you're listening. All of these ways of talking to God is so good because it softens our heart towards the Lord. It's saying, God, I don't know if I can trust you. God, I don't know. Jesus, I don't know if you're really loving or will accept me because of my past mistakes. I'm telling you, my friends, when we start praying, when we start speaking to the Lord and start trying to hear, we will start to hear him talk back to us in such a loving and gentle way. So start talking to the Lord today. Another way is reading his word. Reading his word has been so profound in my life because it's really a way to learn the heart of God and to maybe have certain questions answered. And I think is it ironic or it is the will of God? I don't know. You tell me. But we are doing this initiative. We've been doing it for a couple of weeks, which is read the word, right? And we've been going through the New Testament together. And today, actually, if you haven't started, I would say plug in today. It would be perfect to plug in today. And the reason why is, and I didn't plan this out, y'all. I did not plan this out. I really, truly believe God has made it this way on purpose. But today is actually, we're reading John 15 and 16. We're reading what we're talking about right now, right? So it's a perfect time to hop into his scripture, read his word, plug in with our community in doing this and reading the New Testament together. But that's another thing we can do to stay connected to Jesus is read his word. Now, using some examples from my life, the first one is continue to go to church, continue to plug in. Jesus exampled this. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath. So how much more are we to go to church, right? Be plugged in to his community. Now, I know some of us might not be in the Bay Area, but for my friends who are, check us out at our campus. Come and say hi. We're there with open arms. For my friends who are maybe farther than the Bay Area or even California or even the state, I would say look for a local church and get plugged into that. You'll start to see God moving. Another is in the way in my life, the way that God has done it, is start serving. When we serve, we can we'll really see God move. We will be blessed by it, but we'll also be able to bless others by serving his community, his church. You know, Jesus says it himself that he came to serve and not to be served. And lastly, hear me. Y'all, get plugged in to a small group, to a Bible study. you'll start to meet people, whether it's your age or just in your life, your sphere of life influence, whatever you're going through, right? Maybe you've been in your career for a while. We got small groups for, you know, people who've been in their career for a while. Maybe you're 18 to 20 year olds, right? A little younger, and maybe you don't know where to start. We got groups for that. You know, get plugged into a small group. Invite other people into your lives. Jesus had a small group. He had his 12 disciples, yes. But then when you read scripture, you see that he also had his three. It was Peter, James, and John, right? You read it. He had his inner crew. It's very important for us to stay connected to God's people. And this is one of the ways we can stay connected to Jesus. So to my friends who maybe haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, I pray over you and I encourage you to consider following Jesus. What's stopping you? Is it doubt? Is it maybe anxiousness or past hurt from churches? I would say bring that to God, because God didn't hurt you, right? And God wants to move and he wants to make your joy complete. So for my friends who haven't made that decision, invite Jesus into your life. It is something that I promise you, you will never regret bringing Jesus into your life. And for my friends who've been following the Lord for some time, continue to run the race. Maybe the flame, the passion of our faith that is deep down in our bones has over time maybe faded a little bit. My friends, nurture it. Plug back into his community. Stay connected to the Lord. Continue to run the race that's been set before you. For in the end, there is going to be a reward for you in heaven that will never spoil, that thieves will never be able to rob, that will never rust or rot, my friends. This joy that is for today, right now, right here, and for tomorrow, and for eternity. A joy that lasts. It's been an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you today. And in a couple of, right now actually, our band is going to share this wonderful worship song that for me, it's really been a really good remembrance of how the Lord's taken me back to his people and brought me back to where I belong. And maybe for us, it's the Lord is taking us to for the first time. Have a good one. Be blessed, be encouraged in the Lord. And until next time, have a good one.
There was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I was running, I was searching. But every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Tried to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners. It's a shelter for the sinners. And it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that I wanna go to church. hang on to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they see me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Yeah. I want to go to church. I want to go, I want to go to my first love. Yeah. I want to go to church.
Oh, the place we were meant to be, our truest home we will ever have, is with the Lord. Don't ever forget that. That's where our identity is to be formed. That's where we are to find ourself, in Him. When we surrender our lives, what we find is that we find our lives. That's the invitation that Jesus makes to all of us. And in fact, if you've gotten to a place in your life where maybe you've been thinking about taking that leap of faith and you want to accept Jesus into your life as your Savior and Lord, I want to encourage you to let us know. We want to support you. We want to pray with you. We want to give you all the ability to move forward in that journey. You know, connect with us. Let us know. But I'm for all of us growing, becoming more of the person He's intended for us to become. That beloved son, that beloved daughter, that you are, that I am. Not because I deserve it, not because I earned it, but because I received it. You know, the gift of God is something we choose to receive. You get it with an open hand, not a closed one. And I just pray that we would all stay open to the Lord. We would all find ourselves in His love, immersed in His goodness. Yeah. Something that will deliver us. Lord, deliver us from the things that would bind us, hold us back, confuse us, fill us with anxiety. Strengthen our resolve, strengthen our mind. Give us power to make good decisions and the wisdom to understand what those decisions need to be. That's my prayer of blessing for all of you, myself too, in Jesus' name.